From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Thursday afternoon. We have a boatload of news. Of course, we're going to be talking about the big, brutal bill that was adopted on the narrowest of margins last night in the dead of night while America was sleeping. The MAGA regime in the House of Representatives enacted the biggest cuts to Medicare, Medicaid, and emergency food assistance in our nation's history to deliver trillions in tax cuts to people who don't need them. We will discuss especially what are called, the technical term here, are the manager amendments. These are the amendments that are asserted at the very last things, the very last little tweaks to a bill that is enacted or introduced by the, quote, manager of the bill, typically the representative that introduced the bill. A bunch of crud in there. We're going to get to that, but there's a bit of breaking news. And as your legal eagle on the air here during the weekdays, of course, you got Jim Santel, my fine guest frequently on Saturday mornings from 9 to 11, his show called Amicus, a law review. But I'm your legal eagle Monday through Friday. Let me share with you breaking news. Now, we are all aware of the Trump administration bungling about with all kinds of crazy personnel decisions. We know that Donald Trump has threatened to potentially try to, I don't know, maybe fire Jerome Powell, the chair of the Federal Reserve. We know that Donald Trump has been purging people left and right throughout the ranks of the federal government. Well, some of those purges included firings from the National Labor Relations Board. This is important. What does the NLRB do? It reviews disputes between people that are trying to organize into a union, the actual organized unions and employers. It is essential, though Republicans have been whittling away at labor protections and the power of the NLRB for decades, read since Nixon. So Donald Trump fired a pair of people from the NLRB. That, of course, was challenged in court. The district court found that the removal, which it says in statute needs to be for cause, meaning you can't just fire them because you don't like them or they won't sign some sort of imaginary loyalty pledge to the orange man in chief. He didn't provide any reason for their firing. He just fired them. So the district court found, yep, that's illegal. The appeals court said, yep, that's illegal. Oh, but no, ladies and gentlemen, the Supreme Court just moments ago approving a stay of those prior findings of the lower court. So in other words, allowing the firings to proceed pending final adjudication on the merits. I want to read a little portion of this interim Supreme Court order because the technicalities here are really, really important. Pretty technical. If you're just joining us, I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. I am a lawyer and an economist. This is the kind of stuff that I like to dig my teeth into. Here is the Supreme Court's order from just within the last hour. The application, well, let me start here. The government applied for a stay of orders from the district court and the appeals court enjoining, i.e. preventing, the president's removal of a member of the NLRB and this other related Merit Systems Protection Board. The president is prohibited by statute from removing these officers except for cause, and no qualifying cause was given. You think, okay, well, he can't fire him then. Oh, no. Supreme Court has a few tricks up its sleeve. They continue. The application for stay presented to the Chief Justice and referred by him to the court is granted. Because the Constitution vests the executive power in the president, he may remove without cause executive officers who exercise executive power on the president's behalf, subject to narrow exceptions recognized by our precedents. The stay reflects our judgment that the government is likely to show that both the NLRB and the MSPB exercise considerable executive power. But we don't ultimately decide the final question, blah, 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 blah. It goes on. The stay also reflects our judgment that the government faces greater risk of harm from an order allowing a removed officer to continue exercising the executive power than a wrongfully removed officer faces from being unable to perform his or her statutory duty. Charming. Charming. And they do actually tip their hat. This is extraordinary that the Supreme Court in this interlocutory appeal for preliminary relief, right? This is the emergency docket, the shadow docket, right? They actually talk about the Federal Reserve Chair issue. This is extraordinary because this case isn't about the Fed Chair, okay? Here's the Supreme Court. Finally, the fired people argue that in this case, that this case will necessarily implicate the constitutionality of for-cause removal protections for members of the Federal Reserve's Board of Governors or other members of the Federal Open Market Committee. We disagree. The Federal Reserve is a uniquely structured quasi-private entity that follows in the distinct historical tradition of the first and second banks of the United States, and so on and so forth. This is remarkable because the court is signaling, again, in this interim relief, this non-final order about a completely separate matter that, hey, Trump, you're not going to be able to fire the Fed chair. So very interesting. It's also signaling what I think most prognosticators would have guessed is an extraordinarily broad reading of executive power by this Supreme Court, right? Not surprising, but so broad as to effectively, the court is overruling what Congress placed into law requiring for-cause removals and saying, Congress did that, that's not constitutional. This is quite an extraordinary ruling, though interim from the Supreme Court. It is, again, another ruling in this slow march to this very expansive interpretation of executive power, more open to this concept of the unitary executive, which used to be some 10 years ago, extraordinarily fringe. It is fringe no longer. Thanks for joining me on this Thursday afternoon. I'm Maggie Dawn, your legal eagle and economist on the air here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to join our conversation this afternoon? We got a jam-packed show for you. So much to talk about. You can always give us a buzz. Text or phone in 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. I want to talk about the fact that two Israeli embassy staffers were shot to death last night after an event at the Israeli embassy. This is awful. This is disgusting. This is political violence. It is unacceptable in the United States. No matter how grave the atrocities that are occurring in Gaza, mass starvation, we're looking at most likely one of the greatest humanitarian disasters in recent history. And a president who, while he toured the Mideast in gilded palaces, accepting a $500 million plane from Qatar, signing business deals that half of which were already in place back from the Biden administration, didn't bother to stop in Gaza. This is disgusting, unacceptable, and anathema to any good faith American. Before I even got to talk about this news, my good friend John from Milwaukee, a conservative, was on the text line already saying this: the execution of the two Israeli citizens, that's to Israeli citizens, I'll just read his text, is 100% the fault of left-wing media like 540 WAUK. The liberal media has normalized violence against conservatives and Jews. John, let me be clear here. No. No, not even a little bit. Political violence being normalized, sir, that would be the MAGA regime. That would be the insurrectionist in chief who interrupted the peaceful transition of power that resulted in the beatings of over 100 police officers who pardoned those who engaged in political violence. No, sir. No, sir. That is deeply wrong and misguided. I will say it again, political violence of any type is anathema to democracy. It is anti-American. It has no place. We resolve political differences in the ballot box and over the airwaves. Yes, rhetoric may be incendiary from time to time, John. But incendiary rhetoric is rhetoric. I have never, nor has anyone on this network, ever endorsed political violence. I wouldn't be here if any one of my colleagues did so. It is roundly condemned, as it should be, every day. The ones who have made excuses for political violence are in the MAGA regime. The ones who lied about the 2020 election to foment said political violence are on Fox News, admitting in court filings that they don't report news and that no reasonable person would ever believe the things that their commentators say because, of course, it's pure entertainment. Fox News, fake news that has paid hundreds of millions of dollars to plaintiffs because they lie. Those lies that contributed to the political violence where over 100 police officers were beaten, injured, serious brain injuries on January 6th. That is political violence. So is the violence that took the lives of these two Israeli embassy workers, two people who are about to get engaged. It is all abhorrent, and it should be condemned, John, and shame on you for trying to place the blame at the feet of people who dare question the MAGA regime and Donald Trump. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Breaking news. The man who killed those two people has been charged with first-degree murder, as well as murder of foreign officials, causing a death with a firearm, and discharging a firearm during a crime of violence, according to a court filing. 855-752-4842. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.